Take the songbook, turn to page number 97. Let's all stand together as we sing Jesus Saves, page 97.
Oh,
during this time when we're not able to have a choir, but we don't want to limit that to them. It is a bit of a challenge because we don't have the Sunday night or the Wednesday night services for you to practice. But if you would be willing to provide a special on next Sunday morning, if you would raise your hand at this time, I will take your name down, or you can think about it and catch me after the service and let me know so that we can give you the opportunity as well as these other ladies to glorify our Lord in song. And we don't want to limit it, so we wanted to give you that opportunity as well. So I don't see any hands raised this morning, but catch me later. And of course, you'll have to arrange a time to practice with one of the musicians to be ready for next Sunday morning. Have a thank you letter here from Sister Jeanette Phillips. Thank you so very much for the beautiful flowers for Bill. He would have been so pleased. He loved Lock Haven, and I do so too. Thank you for all the prayers and the cards. Love to all, Sister Jeanette Phillips. I take the songbook to page number 157. You may remain seated as we sing Trust and Obey, 157. Okay. All right.
Yes, sir.
Anyone else? Sister Lois shared that India is at a phase where the surgeons will not proceed, and so we're just praying that there won't be another blockage occurring, but continue to pray for India Warner, if you would, please. Anyone else? All right, so take your songbook, turn to page number 83. Let's all stand together as we sing Rock of Ages, page 83. Pastor Lane Stockton.
Good morning. Good to see y'all here. I hope that you've had a blessed week in the Lord. It is good to have visitors with us this morning. And thank you for joining us in worship. If you're watching online, hopefully today there will be no hearts or skulls or skeletons over the top of my head. It has been a tough week for our media group. Wednesday night I preached upside down. That is tough, hanging by your toes in the office. It didn't matter which way I turned it, it was just there, upside down. So I know y'all kept telling me, flip the phone around. Well, it wasn't helping anything. So it didn't do. Had hearts over our head last week, and today it's turning sideways. But I think we're good. Right, Brother Bill? We're on go. We're launched. I tell you, this has been something. It's learning this new stuff has been quite the ordeal.
Amen.
But we're getting there. By the time we figure it out, something else will happen. We'll have to have beehives around us to help us with this murder hornet they got running around. But we'll be all right. We'll survive that too because God's in heaven. He's on his throne, and none of this caught him by surprise.
Amen.
Some of you saw the insert in the bulletin this morning. You see a portion there that is an honor to our deacons. Not only to our deacons, but our deacons' wives. And if we could, at this time, I'd like to have our deacons come forward up here with their wives. We're going to spend a moment just to honor them for the countless hours of service that they have done. So if you gentlemen come and space as far as y'all feel necessary, but not far from your wife. Stay close to your own wife. Right down here up front would be a help. My wife would come this morning. What the church has done is we've taken some of the boards from the bottom of the old first church building, altar, and we have put together a pitcher and got the ladies a flower. And we just want to say thank you to our deacons because they have served Lock Haven for many, many years. And if somebody would just take a quick picture of this when they are done. And it says, "For they that have used the office of a deacon will purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." Thank you, Sister Rena. Thank you, Sister Martha. Thank you. Thank you very much, Sister Donna. And there's hand cleaner wherever y'all want to find her. Please get that picture for them before they leave. Here you go. I know you all look about to shake my hand. What's wrong with him? There we go. Serving. I'm not washing your feet right now, but I'll squirt some Germex in your hands. All right. Give him a hand again. Chapter number 14, if you would, this morning. Mark chapter number 14. I'm looking forward to Sunday school next week. Next week, we're going to have our first Sunday school time back together. 10 o'clock, right here in the auditorium. Brother Josh is going to start a series with the adults, 13 and older. And Sister Dyer and Sister Jenny's going to do the kids from 3 years old to 12 years old. You say, well, I've got a child that is one. That's fine. You can take it to the kids if you want to, and you can sit in there with them. It is a difficult time for us. Or you can stay in here with your child and sit with them. It doesn't matter either way. However you choose, but the kids have been meeting in the Discovery Building so they can spread apart a little bit, and the adults will sit here so we can stay spread apart so that we can do our part in this here era that we find ourselves in. So I'm looking forward to that. And then I'm looking forward to starting Sunday evening service back up. First Sunday in June. First Sunday in June, we'll be having our first Sunday evening service back together. And we're going to slowly go back and get this here back to normal. because the, it has been our manner and mannerisms of Lock Haven Baptist Church to meet in these hours for many, many years, and so we're going to get them back as quick as we can. So that is what's on the horizon right now. So I know there's not a time in there for the senior recognition on June 7th. We're still praying about that. It may be right after Sunday morning service. It may be Sunday evening service. I'm still praying that God hasn't gave the direction on that yet. But we'll take care of that when it's come. We've got plenty of time. And what's going to happen is each of our seniors is going to take a table over in the Family Life Center. And they're going to tell their story of their years from birth to this point, because they're starting a new chapter in their lives. And for some reason, only God knows, they were not afforded the opportunity to be recognized as others during this time. But we are going to do our best as a church to honor them and recognize them. It would be a blessing, some of your teens, if all your seniors, to send an email or an invitation to your principal and invite them to come and to be a part of it. Maybe they won't, but you never know. Maybe they'll come and see you, because I think they're thrilled that you're not coming back next year. So they may want to make sure you're going down the road. But that would be a good gesture on your behalf to just invite them. Perhaps they'll come, perhaps they won't, but we're looking forward to honoring them on June the 7th. We will get the time to you real quick. Don't forget, teens, to be ready for work day last Saturday of May. See Brother Jason, Sister Vivian. We don't have a time yet on that either, unless y'all have one ready for me to announce. You ready? 10:30? Not yet? Don't have a time yet?
Yeah, I don't know the time.
They'll get with you, okay? They'll keep you in the loop. Good to see all of y'all here today. Boy, every Sunday it's grown. A little bit more.
Amen.
A little bit more. Thank you. Good. I think we had, there's about 12, 15 watching online right now on one page, and another one on another, about three or four on another page. We have people watching from Indiana, Canada, Washington, Arizona, Greece. Anybody else see any other people? Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? It is amazing. But it's good to be back in the house of God with you folks. Mark chapter number 14, verse number 8 this morning. Well, let's read from verse 1 to verse 11, and then we'll focus in on verse 8. Mark chapter 14, verse 1. Mark chapter 14, verse number 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of the unleavened bread. For the chief priests and scribes saw how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment and spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves, and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath brought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye shall, will ye may do them good, but ye have not all, but me ye have not always. Verse 8. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burial. Verily I say to you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money, and he saw how he might conveniently betray him. This is a troublesome time in the nation of Israel as they move up into the days prior to the Passover and to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's a time where the religious crowd is very troubled by what they see taking place. This is real close, right after the Pentecost and the crying of Hosanna and the Palm Sunday thing. And I know Easter's gone. This has nothing to do with Easter. I'm just trying to get you to know where we're at. And we're kind of in a troublesome time right now. All around America, all around the world, really, we are. And I'll be honest with you, I tell you this quite often, that the Lord's coming soon. But I believe it's closer than we realize. I really think it's getting, down to the point where He's going to call us up out of here. But He hasn't called us up out of here yet. We're still got a job to do. We still need to be busy for Him. Now, the thing is, you find Jesus in the house of Simon, but He has a title, a tag, a nickname, something that stuck with Him. What was that? Leper. We know that He's cleansed at this time because He's in the house. If He was not cleansed by this time, He would still be outside the gate, and He would be covered, crying, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." Isn't it amazing that sometimes that old habits of past, and leprosy is a picture of sin, the things that, those weights and things that, the baggage that we carry along with us, they kind of still stick around. Kind of still hang on to us. Sometimes as you grow up in life, sometimes somebody may have given you a nickname and it's stuck all the way through. Every time they see it. Every time they see it. There it goes. That, it just sticks with it. And they said He was in the house of Simon the leper. There's sometimes different. I'm going to tell you that those things will always be in your past. People's going to bring them up. People's going to whisper about them. People's going to talk about them. People's going to lay them out there in front of you. But people are people. And people are not God. And so when God forgives, He moves in and He says things like this, "And such were some of you." Yeah, you were, but now you're my child. Yes, you were lost and on your way to hell. Yes, you were dead in trespass and sin. But when Jesus gets involved, we're quickened, we're made alive, we're born again into the family of God, and we have a new name. Other people may not forget it. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit of God wrote it down in there. I'm glad that the Spirit of God moved upon Mark as he scripted this here down. And the Spirit of God says, write that Jesus was in the house of Simon the leper. Aren't you thankful that Jesus wants to be around the outcasts? He wants to be around those that don't have a better life in front of them outside of Him. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. I'm just thankful that in the terrible time that Jesus found Himself in, you remember the cross is coming. He knows the cross is coming. It's right down the road there. He's done told His disciples, these things must take place. Yet He has time to go to somebody named Simon, which was a leper. And He sit down and He had a meal with him. And he just wanted to be around His children. I'm just thankful that Jesus wants to be around me. I'm thankful that Jesus is interested in me. I'm thankful that Jesus is interested in you. And He knows you by name. And He knows what you was, but He knows who you are in Him. And there's a big difference. That's why we need to be careful that we don't return again back to the bondage of old, because we've been set at liberty in Christ Jesus. The Lord is there, and He's sitting around with the leper. As He's there, there's this lady that shows up, a woman with an alabaster box of oil, and she begins to anoint Him and wash Him and cleanse Him. And you notice that when you give what you have to Jesus, Brother Ray, there's blessings involved. It brings blessings your way. As we finished out reading that chapter, the portion we read, Jesus said this, said, where the gospel is preached, because of what this woman did, because of the anointing of my body beforehand, because she gave, it will be a memorial to her wherever the gospel is preached. Isn't that a blessing? That the Lord Jesus Christ would take recognition of the offering that was given and given to her. And it bothered people. I'm going to tell you something. When you give all, there's blessings from on high. But there's criticisms from those that are just walking this carnal life. Those that are just wanting to guard the pot, you might say. And so, when we talk about this, we understand that this is talking about one of His 12. This moment was the breaking point in Judas's life. That there was so much money being wasted. Isn't that an amazing thing? Money wasted on Jesus. Money, what? Is that like an oxymoron, Brother Jay? Money wasted on Jesus. Wait a minute, all things belong to Him. He's just generous enough to only ask for 10%, give you the 90% to do what you want with. That's God's way of doing things. But it bothered. The Bible says there was indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? I'm telling you, dear friend, we're pretty careful about how we speak about the work of God. This person, this lady, was doing the work of God. She was preparing the body for burial before the burial ever took place. We need to be very careful about how critical we are about folks that are doing the will and work of God. Listen, we are created in the image of God, and we need to be very careful that as we go through our life, that we don't get our minds off of what's really important. And what was really important was not the amount of money that was spent. I'm going to tell you something. God takes no shortcut when it comes to things. When it comes to, you think about the temple. The gold that was poured out. But it was just a building. It was a building that was dedicated to God. I know we the people, we are the body of Christ. But when something is set aside and dedicated for the cause and work of God, we need to be very careful that we are in a mindset that whatever is important to God should be important to me, and not be critical of the operation of getting the gospel message out. So how did this have to do with the gospel message? Because Jesus said, whatever and wherever and whenever the gospel is preached, this, what she has done for me, what did He say? Let's read it again. Verse 6. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. That's what Jesus said. So it brings blessings. But I'm going to tell you, dear friend, when you give out, you go all out for God, dear friend, you better expect some criticism to come your way. You just better expect it. Now here's a good example for you and I that we need to look at. We need to see how we can learn from this. The Bible said in verse 8, she has done what she could. Now, I believe we're closer and closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you and I, We got to do what we can do. What is available for us to do, what is out there for us to do, whatever job is the Lord's laid before us and the opportunities there, we need to grasp them with all the energy and might and strength within our body, and we need to be found faithful in whatsoever we do, do it heartily as to the Lord. And we need to be very careful that we are doing what we can do. Not worried about what others can do, or what others should do, or why they're doing this, or if they did it this way. We just need to focus on ourselves for a minute, because, dear friend, when time comes, when the trumpet of God shall sound, there's something called the Bema Seat of Christ, and all of God's children are going to stand before Christ, the Bema Seat of Christ, and give an account of what we did in this body, whether good or bad. What can you do today for the cause of Christ? I tell you what we can do. We can build up our faith. You know, the Bible says, and look over in 1 John. Let's just read what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 5, in verse 4. Why do I need to build up my faith? Because I'm going to tell you, dear friend, we are only as effective as our faith enables us to be. Peter could do absolutely nothing in the boat, but it took faith to step out and to walk on water. Yes, but he fell right into the hand of God. Isn't that amazing? Where was the other 11? Still in the boat. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children. No, that's chapter 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. But whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What is it? Even our faith. So what can you do right now? You can build up your faith, and you can overcome things through your faith, the faith of God that is measured out to us, and we can live a victorious life. And how do we do that? Well, Romans chapter number 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That means we need to take time for Bible reading. What can you do to build your faith? Spend time in the Word of God. Spend time soaking in the Word of God. Read it. Not getting into the Bible to find, what you desire to find, but look into the Word of God and let God show you Himself through the Word of God. We need to quit approaching the Bible with some preconceived ideas and allow the Holy Spirit of God, the great teacher, to teach us the Word of God. There's no private interpretation, dear friend, of the Scripture. People run around here talking, I've got this secret, I've been shown this secret, and this has been revealed to me only, dear friend. That's of the devil. There's no private interpretation of the Scriptures. There's only the Word of God, written by the hand of God, and breathed by God, and preserved by God, and kept by God, and the Holy Spirit of God teaches us the Word of God. And so we need to be careful that we spend time in the Word of God. What can I do? I can find time to be in the Word of God. Well, Pastor, we're on the back end of this quarantine now. What have you done up to this point with the Word of God? You haven't done much. It's time to start. I tell you this, dear friend, we're outside of this quarantine. If we woke up tomorrow and there was nothing left of this coronavirus. Nothing. It was gone. It was in the back view mirror, way back there, gone as yesterday. And you still haven't done nothing with the Word of God. If you got breath in your lungs, you can stall. You can stall. How are we going to go? We've got to have the Word of God in our life, dear friend. And I'll tell you what else we can do. Look over in Mark chapter 11. Go back to Mark chapter 11. Spend some time in the Word of God. Spend some time in prayer. Mark chapter number 11, verse 22. Mark 11:22, the scripture says, "And Jesus answered and says unto them," what did he say? "Have faith in God." What were we talking about? What can I do? I can build up my faith. How can I do it? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I get into the Word of God and my faith begins to increase. And now I can have faith in God. How can I have faith in God? Let's read on. "For verily I say to you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire," what does it say? "When ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Pastor, I've been praying for a long time. There's this 24-foot bass boat I've been looking for. You're asking to consume upon your own lust. When we have a heart after God, and we chase after God, and we search after God, and we're in the Word of God, God gives us the desires of our heart because our heart is lined up to God. And the things we begin to ask for are things that are within the will of God, and they're not selfish, but they're lined up with God. And I'm telling you, dear friend, God's not against you having things. Not whatsoever. He's not against you having a bass boat. Well, how do you know that, preacher? There's no scripture in that, because he called several disciples to follow him that were fishermen. And he used their boat on several occasions to preach from. So God's not against you having a bass boat. He's not. But if that's the only thing that's in your heart and mind is to have, because you want to consume it upon your own lust and not be used of God while having those things, you cannot expect to have those things, because that's not within the will of God. So how can I increase my faith? By being in the Word of God. By being in the Word of God, I know the mind of Christ. My heart begins to line up with God. I begin to pray according to the will of God. And as I pray according to the will of God, I want to spend more time with my Savior. And I'm going to tell you, dear friends, Jesus wants to spend time alone with us. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, in Mark chapter 14, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus called three of his disciples apart and said, "Hey, come. Let's go spend a little time alone. Let's go over here alone." I'm going to go a little bit further. Jesus had a time of great prayer that he went in, but he wanted to be alone with his disciples. And I'm going to tell you, just like when Jesus said, "Peter, James, John, come with me. I want to go a little bit further with you." There's times, dear friend, I'm going to be honest with you, that Jesus wants you to go a little bit further than the other crowd. There's times that he wants you to come just a little bit closer than the rest of them, because he has something. He wants you to know how special you are and how much he loves you as an individual. And who cares the world against you? You got these. These are great men. Jesus came back and said, "Hey boys, did you not watch and pray with me? Well, why are you asleep? Wake up." What happened? The cares of the world. The weight of the world. Weighted them down. Got them droggy. Got them tired. And got them sleepy. And before they know it, their eyes had shut. And they missed that moment with Jesus. Can you imagine, Brother Jim, the Holy Spirit of God coming to you later, telling you to write this down? Peter, James, and John, and John's writing it down, and he's talking about the great drops of blood that John could have actually saw it with his own eyes. He was asleep. You've got to spend some time with Jesus, dear friend. Listen. Thank God you're here today. The Bible says, "Forsake not assembling ourselves together as a manner of some is." Thank God that you're here. But where's that time with just you and God? Where it's just you and Him? I thank the Lord. I've got five different groups that I doing a little Bible studies with. I thank the Lord for it. We spend a little bit of time, not even verbally. It's through some crazy app. I don't even know how these things work, but we're doing it. But different, if that's all I've got of God is with an app, I'm in big trouble. Amen. Where's the private time for you and God? Just you. What can I do right now? She has done what she could. I wonder if Jesus looked down upon heaven, out of the portals of heaven, Brother Ray, and looked down upon us, and he looked over here and looked at this one. He looked at that one, looked at this one, and said, hey, Michael, hey, Archangel, look, she has done what she could today. Would that be said of you? Would it be said of me? We can build our faith, dear friend. We got to exercise our faith, and it will grow. I remember when I joined the Army in 1987, and I got on the bus and headed to off to basic training. They put me into the reception center, and we were in what they call zero week. And to get out of zero week, you had to do X number of push-ups, X number of sit-ups to get out of it. I'd never done a push-up or sit-up my whole entire life. Never. But to get out of zero week, I had to do X amount. And when I got up there, it was real simple. I think it was just 15, maybe even 13 that you had to do push-ups and maybe 22 or 25 sit-ups. And there were some guys that couldn't do it. I did it. But I'm telling you, it like strained me to death. I was like, what in the world is this here? Push-ups and sit-ups. I'd never done it before. I played football. I played baseball. But it was something that some of it was the fact that my body was tired. They had kept me up all day just standing there waiting. Just wait. What are we waiting for? Waiting for the rest of these guys to get here. They're coming. We're just waiting. Dear friend, when I left basic training, I was doing 67 push-ups in 2 minutes. Not now. When I left basic training, how did that happen? Exercising my push-up muscle. And I'm telling you, sometimes the drill sergeant exercised it a whole bunch for me. He helped me. Got me along. Sometimes, if I'm telling you, the reason we don't have any time in the Bible, we don't have any time in prayer, we don't have any time alone with God, is because we're not exercising those muscles. What muscle are you talking about? The whole part. Heart is wicked above all. Who can know? But if we seek God with all of our heart, and we start exercising that heart, and we start yearning after God, and seeking after God, and wanting to be around the things of God, dear friend, our faith begins to increase, and the victories come more and more into our lives, and it's because we're exercising those, and we begin to expect God to meet us at certain places and be with us in certain places and to walk by in certain places and to take our hand and hold us through the difficulties of life. And God is there for us because we've seen Him at work. What can we do? We can certainly build our faith. Here's something else we can do. We can help build other believers' faith. I'm too ashamed of it sometimes, dear friends. Sometimes we're just nothing but stumbling blocks to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not stepping stones. We're not. We're not at all. Let me tell you something, dear friend. We need to be more considerate of our weaker brother and sister in Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you something else, dear friend. What needs to be most concerned in our hearts and lives when we make decisions is what effect this is going to have on our brother and sister in Christ. What? I live in America. I can do as I please. Sure can. Well, what's the ripple effect on sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so? What? When you choose to do as you please and live as you want and have the things that your heart desires and not the things of God, what does it do when it to the brother and sister that's there? Well, am I my brother's keeper? Well, we've heard that one before, haven't we? Somebody tell me where that came from. Who said that? Well, you can't say that part. After he'd done what? Murdered his brother. You know the Bible says that we've passed from death into life because we do what? We love the brethren. We love the brethren. Look with me in Romans chapter number 14, if you would. Romans chapter number 14. Well, preacher, why did you start on your own faith first? Well, when you ride an airplane and that thing is about to crash and those air masks fall out of your out of the ceiling, what are you supposed to do first? Help your neighbor or help yourself? Dear friend, if my faith is not where it should be, how in the world can I help Brother Ryan? When the Bible tells me in Galatians, ye which are spiritual, lift up such a one that's fallen. And it says, bear ye one. If I can't bear my own burdens, how can I bear somebody else's? How do I learn to bear my own burdens? Because I've yoked up with Christ. I've taken on the yoke of Christ. And he's working with me and laboring with me together. Romans chapter 14, verse 19, the Bible says, let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace. What things? And things wherewith one may edify another. One that may edify. We can follow after this. Why? Look at verse 21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth. Or is offended. Or is weak. We need to build the faith up of our brother and sister in Christ. If we're not careful, dear friend, we become inspectors of faults and not fruits. We just try to dig the dirt. Instead of stiff for gold. You got to build people up. You have to get alongside them, prop them up, be there for them, cry with them when they're crying, weep with them and rejoice with them when they're rejoicing, help them when they are overcome. We that have overcome, help us come alongside them and to carry their burdens and help them back unto the fold of Christ. Didn't the Bible teach us that we're predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ? What did Christ do? He left the 99 and went after the one. To what? Bring them back to the fold. We need to be careful, dear friend, that we're building up others' faith and increasing their faith. Well, they might become more spiritual than us. Well, what kind of foolishness is that? Would that be a bad thing if somebody became more spiritual than us? Really? It should motivate us to get closer and closer to God. Should this motivate us? The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 that I am to be an example to the believers. In word and charity and in conversation and in purity, I'm to be that example. Why am I to be that example? To increase their faith. To help them. What can I do? I can increase my faith. And I can help increase the faith of my brother and sister in Christ. Well, what does that do for us? When we do that, dear friend, the body of Christ, we, the family of God, is built up together and we can accomplish much for God. Look what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. The Bible says in verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did he give us them? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13. till we all come in the unity of the what? Faith. Why do we increase our faith? Why do we build up others' faith? Because we can come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. This is where most of our Christians live, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual work in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Building up one another. Every one of us has been given a gift by God that we should use for the edifying of the body of Christ. What does that mean? That means that we need to be found faithful exercising that gift within the body. If you have the gift of teaching, dear friend, and you're able to teach, are you not using that? Are you not looking for an opportunity to teach? Well, Pastor, there's no Sunday school lessons. That's why we have discipleship. That's why we have teaching one-on-one and spending time with others one-on-one. Using those gifts, speaking in love, giving of ourselves in love, encouraging each other in love. Why? So we can build up each other so that people see our church as a city sit on the hill, shining bright for the cause of Christ, making the increase of the body, sharing the gospel every opportunity we get. Let me tell you something, friend. His well done is going to make the difference in all the pain, all the suffering, all the mocking, all the name calling, all the hard times you had as a Christian, when you hear, well done. All that's going to be gone. Ladies, you ladies that have had a child, you carried that child around for almost 10 months at St. Paul. Your body is hurt and pain at the very end. Sometimes it's natural, sometimes it's C-section, sometimes it's with painless, I'm not here to argue how you have it. But when it's all said and done, when you finally hold that child, it wipes away all that. Like you can't remember. When we hear, well done. The pastor, it's a hard time to be a Christian. I don't think there ever was a time where it was easy. I don't think it was meant to be easy. Jesus said, I send you forth unto the world. Jesus said, I don't even have a hole to get into or a stone to call a pillow. So I don't think it was meant to be easy. That's a bunch of theological hymn haul. Serving God, dear friend, is a difficult thing because the flesh is not willing to submit. The Spirit is. And how do we come to this point where we just yield ourselves, are able to yield ourselves? It's because we're doing what we can at the moment. Not getting around to it, but we're doing what we can at the moment. We can make a difference as a person, as a church family. We can make a difference in our community. And if we're not careful, dear friend, the opportunity is going to pass us by. There's a lot of folks in this world and in our community that need Christ. They need to see. There's a lot of brothers and sisters that in Christ that are backslidden. They're just looking for a reason to get back in. But when they look in, they see us not doing right. Just mingling on through life. Not being what we can in Christ. What can we do? We can build our faith we can help others increase their faith. And when we are building up each other, helping each other along the way, the body of Christ is edified, the gospel is promoted and propagated further and further than we could ever imagine. You can read an amazing book, 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. Paul spent a little bit, 3 weeks there. When he left, there was a group of people, dear friend, that their faith was sounded abroad. What Scripture says. Their faith was sounded abroad. It's important. It's important. The faith that I have now, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved and gave himself for me, Galatians 2:20. It's important, church. What can you do? Have you ever had that question asked? I'd like to help, Pastor, but what can I do? We can do it together as a church family. We can turn the world upside down for Christ. Let's stand our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Pianist is coming. If you're sitting here this morning, you don't know Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, dear friend, let me tell you, Jesus loves you. God sent his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you're a child of God and you've just been sitting on the fence, you're not involved in the things of God, you're filled with indignation every time something goes forward for God, don't be a Judas. As soon as that conversation is over, he went and sought opportunity to betray Jesus. Your heart's not right. Get your heart right with God. What page was it? 410. 410, church.
Jesus, Sunday morning
our Sunday school at 10 o'clock. Youth and adults here in the auditorium and the children over in the fellowship hall. Good to have Brother Dwayne Chase with us. Brother Dwayne, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you, Lord, for all that's come. Thank you for the message that we've heard. And I will pray as we lead this place to the supply to our hearts and minds. Lord, let us live, not just hear.
Amen. If you'd be willing to help with special music next Sunday, please see me at after it's been.
Actually chatting. Finish.